Welcome to the Dirty Heifers Podcast, soap making, small business, and so much more. Let's get dirty.
Right. Hey, y'all, and welcome back to the Dirty Heifers Podcast, your favorite place to talk about all things business, bath, and a little bit of bull. I'm your host, Margaret, here with my co-hosts, Jesse and Shauna, and tonight we've got an exciting guest in the barn with us, Jerry Ann, the powerhouse behind Southern Natural, a handcrafted goat milk soap brand that started with skin struggles and turned into an Amazon success story. We're going to dive into what it takes to grow a natural skincare brand from farmers markets to online juggernauts and hear how Jerry Ann keeps it all going without losing her mind or her moisture barrier. But first, it's time for our word of the week. You know the drill, Jesse. Are you ready?
I was born ready.
All right. So my words of the week have kind of changed more from outrageous words that I'm trying to have Jesse guess to more of things that are topic related. So I hold up the word, and here it is.
Oh, yeah. That's resilience.
Right. This is resilience. And I do usually throw in a crazy sentence like, after accidentally shipping an entire box of goat milk soap to the wrong state, Jerry Ann tapped into her inner resilience and managed to turn the situation into a 5-star customer review. Jesse, do you know what resilience is?
It means you're unstoppable, unwavering.
Right. Okay. There we go. Do you have a word of the week?
I absolutely do. Redneck word of the week is plum.
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 Plume.
Not plume, plum.
I know. Plum, like...
like, we're plum out.
Okay.
Plum tired.
Very, very? Is my guess, like, like, to the limit?
Total or absolute. I'm okay. Plum tired.
Okay.
I'm plum fed up.
Totally fed up. I'm at my limit.
Okay. There you go.
Gotcha. Gotcha. What?
It means something completely different in construction, but anyway.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In construction, if something's plumb, it means it's straight up and down.
That's true. And, you know...
And you've also got a fruit that grows on trees, you got plumb. But that's
without the B. Is it spelled the same way? Oh. Okay.
No.
Yeah, it's
how
spelled
do you spell plumb like I'm plumb pissed off? How do you spell...
That's with a B.
Yeah. The B is silent.
The B is silent.
Okay, gotcha. All right, then. So, welcome, Jerry Ann.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I was raised in Idaho and moved to Alabama 30 years ago. And would you like me to tell you my story of how I started my company?
Absolutely. That was my first question.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah, so I struggled with eczema for 12 years. It was so miserable. My hands were pretty much solid rash on the insides for most of the 12 years. And I struggled to do normal everyday things like bathing my children, cleaning my house, washing dishes, you know, those things that most people just take for granted. Mm-hmm. Was very difficult for me to do. And we had just built a brand new home, and I really wanted to keep it clean, and I was struggling. You know, it was any cleaning products I used would break my hands out worse. And anyway, and the itching was almost nonstop, and the cracks in my fingers were really painful. And I remember calling my mom one day and just complaining about, you know, how frustrated I was that my skin was so itchy and the cracks hurt so bad and I couldn't keep my house as clean as I wanted without a struggle. And she encouraged me to get online and to look for a natural soap. And I thought I had used, you know, all the natural soaps. And I learned about goat milk soap in my search. And so I quickly ordered some and started using it. And it made a huge difference in my skin. And so I had been using natural goat milk soap for several months. And then we got, let's see. Oh, and then I also was buying goat milk, raw goat milk, for my brother and sister-in-law to drink. And I was paying them $8 a gallon. This was back in probably 2006. Mm-hmm. And my brother-in-law probably felt bad that I was paying him $8 a gallon for milk, so he kept encouraging me to get my own goat, and I kept telling him, no, I don't really need a goat. I don't know anything about goats. I don't want to be tied down to milking goats or taking care of them. And he just would not stop. He just kept saying, you need to get your own goat. And I finally said, all right, I'll get a goat. And anyway, so he started searching around and trying to find a goat for us to buy. And also at the same time, we had just gotten our youngest child into kindergarten, and we were needing extra income. And I had thought about getting back in, to college. I didn't get a degree. I think I did like 2.5 years of college. And so I thought about going back and finishing up and getting a degree. And then when I got home, I went and toured around a local community college, and I was feeling really excited about it. And got home, started praying about it and thinking about it, and realized that that would not work for me. I really wanted to be the one to raise my children. I didn't want, to leave them in the summertime when they were, home from school. And so I quickly realized that that wasn't what I wanted to do. And so I just started praying and asking God to help me to know what I could do at home with my family to earn extra money. And I had been praying that for several weeks. And then my brother-in-law talked me into buying a goat. And he found a goat for us to buy. We live in Alabama. The goat was in Tennessee. And so the morning that my husband and my brother-in-law and I are going to go and buy this goat, I'm praying again while I'm getting ready. And I really just said it with all my heart because I was just kind of desperate. I'm like, Heavenly Father, please tell me what I can do at home with my family to earn extra money. As soon as I said that, it popped in my head instantly, and I heard make goat milk soap and sell it. And I said out loud, that is a great idea. I mean, because I had never considered soap before. And I was just so excited. I mean, I don't know. I'd already been using the soap. It had helped my skin. And, I thought it was interesting. In fact, I was writing in my journal this morning about some of the cool miracles I've seen, from the time that I started making the soap to, and I just began to realize that I have seen so many miracles, being told to make goat milk soap and sell it. And then all through running my business. I mean, the miracles are so many, and they just keep happening, and it's just really awesome. So
you're on your way to buy a goat just mm-hmm. because you were going to get the goat to drink the milk, and you hear, make goat milk soap. You've never made soap before at all.
I had never made soap at all, never even considered it. I had been using the soap, and I was just going to go buy this goat so we would have a healthy milk to drink. And so interesting to me that on the day we're going to buy this goat, I'd already been saying that prayer for several weeks, and the day we're going to buy this goat is when I'm told, and the answer comes to that prayer, to make goat milk soap and sell it.
Okay, so now you get to Tennessee and you have a goat, you go home.
Yeah.
Where do you go from there?
Well, my brother-in-law was all into goats, and he taught me what I needed to do to take care of, a goat. But it was almost like I loved this goat instantly. I mean, it was serving a purpose for me. We were going to have healthy milk to drink. And now I know I'm going to have a soap business. And so the milk will be used for that as well. So, I mean, I was just like so excited about this goat all of a sudden. So it was really fun. And when we got home from our trip, and I was talking to my husband and my brother-in-law, like, okay, I'm having a soap business. And talking all about, what I might do, and got home and ordered my books and started researching online, calling anybody that would talk to me about, how do you make goat milk soap, and, ordered some supplies and started practicing and sharing samples of soap with my family and my friends.
And how long ago was this? How many years ago?
This was probably back in 2000, let me think, probably 2009, I think. Mm-hmm. Anyway, because I actually, when I got my soap recipe figured out and got my packaging figured out, it was November 2011 when I was actually ready to start mm-hmm. selling my products or my soap.
So 2 full years of research and...
Yeah, I think it took me probably that long to, figure out how to make soap, come up with a recipe that I liked, and, to share it with enough people to get their feedback. figure out, you know, getting a website built, coming up with a business name and a logo. And actually, when I got my recipe figured out and, you know, and I started making soap and I had some soap made, then, you know, the next thing was, okay, what's my packaging going to look like? What's my logo going to be? And I didn't have very much money to start this business, and I didn't want to get a loan. So I went to a local community college, the same one that I went and toured around, and went to the design department and asked the students if they wanted to participate in, what do you call it? The word just left my mind.
Like a contest?
A contest, right. So that they would each come up with a design. I kind of gave them an idea of what I wanted my logo to look like, and they were all going to come up with a logo and a design for, you know, for my packaging. Well, when I got home from the college, I realized I probably needed to line up a print shop. And so I started looking online and called the first one. And this really energetic, friendly, bubbly girl answered the phone. And I told her I had just gotten home from the community college and asked the students to participate in this contest to design my logo. And, you know, and told her that I needed to have a print shop lined up. And she's like, well, do you mind if I try my hand at designing your logo? And I was like, no, I would love that. But just within 2 days, she sent me 5 different designs, that, and I loved every one of them. They were so perfect. And so I called the school. I was like, oh, will you tell your students? Never mind. I've got it figured out. And
psych.
I know. I don't think she's designed anything. Anyway, but yeah, so she ended up not charging me anything for that, gave me all of the elements of the logo she designed so I could use it on my website, and I ordered my my labels. I started out with a band label and ordered those from that print shop for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and she was just such a really important piece of the puzzle in my business, you know, just, you know, her designing my logo and just helping me, you know, with a lot of things at the very beginning. And so willing to help me and not charge me. Of course, I bought all my labels from them, but, you know, she could have charged me for the design work.
As far as your website, did you design that yourself? Did you work on that yourself? No. Or you had that built by?
No, my brother, who, I come from a family of entrepreneurs, and my brother knew somebody that designed websites, and so basically, yeah, he did, and did it for a really fair price.
Nice.
Which was really helpful.
Very nice. So in the beginning, were you doing like craft fairs and markets?
Yes.
And
yeah, so once I got my packaging done, the first thing I did was I went down to our local Whole Foods market in Birmingham and asked them if they would be willing to carry my soap. And anyway, and they looked at it and they're like, you know what, we love your packaging, and we've been looking for a local goat milk soap, and we haven't liked anybody else's packaging, so sure, we'll bring your soap in. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was...
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was really neat, and that was just at the one Whole Foods store, and they carried all of my soaps. You know, they brought all of them in. I probably had 15 different scents at that point. And my soaps were in that store for quite a few years, and now it has evolved into 4 of my soaps being in the South region, or like 20 something stores of Whole Foods.
Wow.
That's nice. That's awesome.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So that's really fun. But then I also realized I needed to get in front of people and tell them my story. And I was, you know, and so I tried to sign up some art for arts and craft shows, and quickly realized that you have to sign up for those in advance. And so I really wasn't able to get any, you know, for Christmas season. I got in 1 or 2 and I didn't do very well. I had to figure out, you know, I signed up for 2 at the same time and sent my mother and my sister-in-law to one, and I went to another, and the one that they were at was busy, but I found that you really have to be up telling your story and engaging with people, or they're really probably not going to buy your product.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I did a craft fair up in your part of the country one time. It was, I can't think of the name of the town or the name of the craft fair, but it was up in your part of the Oxford Fest. Oxford
Fest.
Yeah, I did Oxford Fest 1 year.
Okay, that's cool.
That was a 5-hour drive.
Wow.
To break even.
Wow. Oh, yeah. You know what? I did a lot of shows in Mississippi, and people in Mississippi supported me so much. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. So I kept going back, and I actually did shows probably 2 or 3 weekends out of the month, and did that for probably 7-8 years.
Hmm. So then when did you decide to make the leap to selling on Amazon?
Well, I was actually heading to a show, and my brother called me, and like I said, he had a company, and he's like, "Sis, you have to get your products on Amazon." This was like in probably 2015. And I was like, "Really?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I feel like I'm doing okay at shows." And he's like, "No, you need to get your products on Amazon." He says, "I put some products on there and they're selling so well." And I was like, "Okay." So anyway, he's the one that encouraged me to do it.
Good for him. And is that when, because you started out with the band label, and I noticed that now you're on boxes. Is that what made you make the switch from bands to boxes?
I'm trying to remember why I made that switch. Okay, so my label looked completely different from when I first started. My packaging was brown and green. And then we shifted over to white with different colors, you know, according to what scent it was. That happened, I don't know. I'm trying to remember why I did that. I know. It's because I was going to try to get into more stores, and I wanted something that stood out a little bit more on the shelf. And the brown and the green, when I'd go down to Whole Foods, I felt like mine was just kind of blah compared to the other packaging. And so that's why I made that shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I wanted to move over to boxes because, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm trying to get into stores, I feel like the band labels get loose and they're falling off. And
Yep.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that when I would go into Whole Foods and it looked like my labels were not all the same height. So I was like, I need to step it up a notch.
So... Mm-hmm. Were you completely intimidated moving from selling at markets and on your website to then moving to a, you know, bigger thing like Amazon?
I still continued to do shows when I was, you know, figuring out how to get my products on Amazon. I mean, that was super overwhelming, and I had no clue what to do, honestly. My brother had bought a course to learn how to put products on Amazon, and I ended up buying the same course and spent a lot of hours, you know, poring over it and trying to study and learn and figure out how do you get your products and then get them selling on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a whole thing where I spent hours and hours and hours.
Do you want to drop the name of the course or no?
Oh, I'm trying to remember what course it is. It's been a lot of years. I think maybe ASM was the name of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, you know, I studied a lot, and I don't even think I went through the whole course. I just kind of, I don't know. I don't think I made it through every single part of that course, but I did study it and spent a lot of hours trying to figure it out.
So how do you decide which products are yours are going to be on your website and then which products are going to go to Amazon, or are they both the same?
No, I don't have every one of my products on my website on Amazon. I just picked ones that I felt like would be popular,
mm-hmm.
and just started with them. And I mean, I could put more of my soaps on there. It's just, you know, I don't know. It can be tricky putting stuff on Amazon. Things are different than they used to be when I first got on. When I first was getting my products on Amazon, I already had a customer base because of all the shows I went to. And so I reached out to my customers that I already had and asked them to go on Amazon and purchase my products, and then I refunded them and they left a review, because I mean, everything about online is review based, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to do that. It was not against Amazon's terms of service, but now you can't do that and things have totally changed. And so I don't know what it's like for a new seller to come and try to start selling on Amazon, because it's a lot harder to get a start, in my opinion, because reviews are what make, you know,
reviews. That's what makes or breaks product.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
And Amazon is very, very strict now about how you get your reviews, and they have to be from people that actually purchase your product and then they leave their review. But when I first started, and luckily I got in before all of that changed, and it was okay to do it that way.
Right.
And
What was the most what were some of the challenges that you faced in the beginning of moving your product onto Amazon?
Well, I would say the hardest challenge, you know, I mean, even though I studied and tried to learn, it can be overwhelming trying to, it seems way bigger and I don't feel like I'm smart enough. Like, sometimes I'm like, okay, I feel really dumb. I don't know what I need to do next, you know?
That's that imposter syndrome kicking in right there.
I'm like, okay, I'm really dumb. I don't know what my next, what I need to do next to keep growing.
We've all said that. Every one of us has said that.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, I don't know what to do. And anyway, and I mean, eventually I got to where I hired some individuals to help me because I just didn't know what to do. I mean, you know, because there's a lot. I mean, you know, a lot of sellers on Amazon order their products from China. They're not making their products. So
right.
I have all of that work in the background. And I mean, just selling what I was selling, I had, that was a lot of work for me to, you know, have to keep my inventory up and order all my supplies and making it and shipping it. And so trying to figure out all the other things that, you know, these sellers that aren't manufacturing their own products, they have more time on their hands to figure all the ins and outs of advertising. And I didn't know all of that. So
you hired somebody to, do they optimize your listings for you and do all the keywords and all that kind of stuff? Listings?
Yeah, they help me optimize my listings and they help me advertise.
Okay.
And so that's not anything that I do. And I don't, you know, I don't know anything about the advertising. I don't know anything about it. I mean, when I first started, I turned the advertising on, but I didn't even know what I was looking for or what I needed to keep an eye on. And anyway, and I didn't spend very much money on advertising because I didn't want to just waste money without knowing, you know, but I never felt like I had the time to really learn it either.
So when you first started, are you FBA or FBM?
I am FBA.
Okay.
I have thought about adding FBM along with FBA, but the reason I have not done that is because I don't want to get bad reviews if I fulfill an order, turn it over to the post office or UPS, and then they don't get it to the customer on time. I don't want
to. And just for the people who are listening, FBA would be when you take your product and you send it to an Amazon warehouse, and FBA is fulfilled by Amazon. Amazon actually sends out the orders when you order them. FBM would be fulfilled by merchant, so that when you place the order, the merchant themselves ships it out. I'm just for the people who are listening.
Yes.
And what was your very first, how many bars of soap did you send in on your very first shipment?
Oh gosh, I can't even remember. Probably, I probably sent in about, I don't even remember, honestly, maybe about 600 bars.
Mm-hmm. How long before you got that first sale?
Oh, I was so proud. I was on a trip in Alaska after I got my first listings created, and then I went on a trip, and I remember waking up one morning, and I looked at my phone, and I had my very first sale. I was like, oh, my heck, this is so awesome.
Do a little happy dance.
Yeah, I wish I knew that customer who it was.
And so, all right, so in the beginning, you're sending in about 600. How much do you send into the warehouse now at a time?
It varies, you know, and your sales will fluctuate, you know, they wax and wane just like they would on a website or even at a show, and depending on what time of the year it is. I mean, it really just varies according to, you know, the summer months, you know, you don't sell quite as much. People are vacationing and, you know, busy with that. The fourth quarter is definitely the best. And then after Christmas, you know, things are okay in January, February, and then they kind of start, you know, slowing down a bit.
Taking a nosedive.
So, I mean, I don't know. So, I mean, what we ship in is always different, and it's all according to what we're selling.
Right. So. I'm looking at the warehouse behind you, and I'm wondering, I'm not even going to say, do you have employees? I'm going to say, how many employees do you have? Because there's no way that you're maintaining all of that by yourself.
No. I have, let me see, one, 2, 3, 4. I actually have 4 employees.
Okay. Nice. Yep. So how do you maintain the handcrafted feel of your soap, being that Amazon is just, you know, like the feel of your brand while you're scaling up and you're, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, we still, it's still handmade. I mean,
right.
We just do it on a little larger scale. Our mold holds between 330 to 350 bars.
Nice.
Each mold. Big. And my husband built our molds and he figured out, you know, a way to cut it, the big molds, and then we, you know, have the bar.
Is it a slab or a cube?
It's a cube.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a cube.
You don't have like that hydraulic cutting machine?
No, we never ordered any of that. My husband just figured out how to, he loves to build stuff and make stuff, and so he's really handy.
Lucky nice.
I've got one of them too.
Yeah, and so we still hand make every bit of, you know, the soap and anyway.
Do you have a favorite product or bestseller? Is your bestseller your favorite product?
Well, one of my favorites is, I like patchouli. I like the love-hate scents.
I love patchouli.
I hate patchouli.
You said patchouli, and Jesse's like, yes, and Margaret's like, oh.
I know, my sister-in-law calls it pastinky.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay.
There's no gray area with patchouli. You either love it or you hate it.
I know.
Well, yeah, I hated it in the beginning, but if you mix it, alone, I cannot tolerate patchouli, but when it's mixed with something else, sometimes I can find it quite pleasant when it's mixed with the right scent, but alone, I agree with pastinky.
Shauna makes a soap, Starry Night, and it's patchouli and what?
Yeah. It says grape and patchouli and a bunch of stuff together. It just smells like really nice, clean soap.
It smells so good.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
It smells so good.
I haven't ever mixed anything with patchouli. I just like patchouli.
I love just straight up patchouli. But one time I mixed a patchouli with a citrus blend and sage. And let me tell you something. That was wonderful.
I bet.
Mm-hmm. It was fantastic.
Oh, and a lot of your like perfumes and colognes have a patchouli base in there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff with patchouli in it.
Really?
It's a good mixer.
Right.
It's a good base too.
Yeah, it probably helps like anchor some of those top and middle notes.
Essentials,
Right.
Yeah.
So I notice when I'm on Amazon, you have a storefront on Amazon. Is that something that you have to set up completely separate, or is that done automatically, or did the people that you hired, did they set that stuff up?
They set that up because I don't even know how to do it.
I was just going to say, like, how do you maintain the feel of your brand on a platform? Because Amazon is very impersonal. You know, it's, where did you get it? I got it on Amazon. Not, I got it from Southern Naturals. Kind of like an Etsy thing, like I got it on Etsy. So it's hard to make yourself stick out on a platform like that. But I looked at your Amazon storefront and it's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
So you guys are doing a very fantastic
job. You got good people.
You got good people.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I can't take the credit for that because I did not create the storefront.
So what does it take to develop a product, like a new product, if you wanted to put a new product into your line? Like, how long would that take? Or is that something that, are you constantly adding products? Are you adjusting your line at all?
I sometimes am better at that than others, you know. I mean, it's not something I'm constantly doing because I honestly find that I'm so busy just trying to maintain what I have that it's hard to find the time to add new products, you know, but I have the bug and I'm trying to work on some new products right now. So
now I followed you on TikTok for a while.
Okay.
And I've seen a video, I don't know, maybe a few weeks ago about a bath soak. Is that something new or is that something that you've had for a while?
Okay. So basically what that is just our scrap soap shave. Mm-hmm. It's just shavings of our scrap, because we've had so much scrap soap that, you know, we have been trying to figure out different ways to use it and to not waste it. And I mean, we've taken a lot of our scrap soap and donated it to different charities, local charities and stuff. And then one of my employees was like, hey, why don't we grind this up and make a bath soak? And I was like, really? She's like, yeah. So she tried it and loved it. And so we went ahead and did that.
How do you use a bath soak if it's just
you just put it in your water and it dissolves. And I mean, little kids love to soak in it, and it's not like bubble bath where it's going to give them a UTI.
Right.
I hadn't thought about that. That's actually pretty good use of it.
Yeah. And I mean, it turns the water just kind of white or milky looking, and I don't know. Kids love it. One of my employees' grandkids or her grandkids really like it. She's the one that really pushed me to do it because I was like, oh, I don't know about this, but. And I mean, we don't sell a ton of it. We sell some, but another way to use up our scrap soap.
Right. Yeah. I think we all have our ways that we use up our scraps.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well.
I just ended.
Flat.
I can't believe we all ran out of something to say.
What has been your proudest moment in business so far?
My proudest moment. I don't know. Let me think about that.
Okay, so you said you were talking about the ebbs and flows of the business and how, you know, Q4 is your best quarter. Are you the kind of person that's like, I have to beat what I did last year and on the grind to keep on scaling? Or have you found like, this is where I'm comfortable? Like, are you just...
No, I mean, I'm constantly. I mean, after a year ends, I'm like, okay, what am I going to do this year to grow? Like, I'm never okay with just staying still. I want to keep growing and, you know. So, yeah, I'm definitely always moving forward, trying to grow, you know, and make it bigger and better.
And where do you see like Amazon falling into the long-term growth? Do you
Well, I mean, I'll always sell my products on Amazon because you know, it is a big chunk of, you know, my income. And you know, we sell on our website and we are reaching more people, you know, through social media and you know, maybe some people find us on Amazon and come and shop, or people find us on social media or whatever. But yeah, Amazon will always be a part of my business.
Right. And I don't know that people know, but when you're a seller on Amazon, you are not allowed to put, you can put your business information, your business name and your website name on like a packing slip, but you can't like include like, hey, go to my website for 15% off. That like Amazon, that's a big no-no.
Oh yeah.
They want you to stay on their platform. Mm-hmm. So you can't, you know, they don't want people to move away.
They don't want you pulling the customers away. So you just have to keep those customers there.
Right.
And right. If you can find your other customers, you know, at shows or through social media and direct them to your website, that's totally fine. But you cannot pull your customers away from Amazon.
Right.
Yeah, it's a big no-no.
Yep.
They got to make their chunk, too.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yep.
Now, for the people that help you set up your Amazon storefront and all that, you did that in 2015, I think you said? Yeah, 2015-ish. Are you still with those people? They still work with you all the time? Or was it set me up and then...
No, in 2015, I did it all on my own.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I just felt like, I don't know, I put my stuff on there and it was doing okay and it was growing a little, but I was like, I mean, I just felt like I needed help to really grow on Amazon. I didn't know the ins and outs of... I just felt, like I said, I felt really dumb about Amazon.
It's a very big business.
It's overwhelming. Yeah. It's a lot.
There's a lot to learn. Yeah. And, you know, and I don't have time to be trying to keep up with all of that because I'm back here working, you know, doing all the manufacturing and managing employees and all of that. And so I just felt like I needed to hire somebody to help me. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to grow, you know.
Did you take over from, you know, are they still maintaining everything for you? Is that something that...
Yeah, I still have people. Yeah, they still help me.
Okay. So. Do you guys have any questions?
I got a question. So Do you sell on any other platforms other than Amazon and your website? Like, do you have a TikTok shop? Do you do Etsy? Is there anything else that you do?
I have my website, and we do have a TikTok shop, which, you know, hasn't really done much for us. I mean, and like I said, maybe I don't know. Maybe I just haven't figured out, you know, really how to sell on TikTok. I did recently get on Walmart and Walmart.com, and I did put my products on Etsy, but I was spending all my time on Amazon and didn't really figure out what you need to do to sell on Etsy, and so my products really never sold on Etsy. I mean, they're still listed on there, but we don't get any sales off Etsy.
But it's really difficult. We've been doing a kind of a series of like the different platforms to sell on. We've had somebody that was really successful on TikTok come and talk to us, and and we talked about selling on Etsy and the differences in having your own website, and then Amazon today we're talking about. And obviously putting all your eggs in one basket is not the best idea.
No.
Right. But when you have one that's working for you more than others, certainly leaning into it is
the way to go.
Is definitely the way to go.
Yeah. I mean, I really do focus most of my time and energy on Amazon because that's where we make most
of your bread and butter.
Right. And, but you know, I did get on Walmart.com just to have something else, and I wouldn't mind figuring Etsy out, but honestly, there's only so much of me, and it's like, it's hard to be able to manage all the platforms. I mean, you know, at one time it gets confusing too. And
well, and then not only are you managing the platforms themselves, but you're thinking of SEO, and you're thinking of, you know, making a video and content for this and content for that. Do you do a lot of content creation or?
I don't do any. I hired an employee to come in and help me with my social media. And yeah, because I don't care for social media, honestly. I'm really comfortable with it. I never got on it myself personally, and you know, I hired some help in the beginning, but they were just doing a little bit. It wasn't really, and then luckily, you know, one of my friends from church who likes social media, I talked her into coming and being one of my employees, and she helps me with it.
Good. Well, it seems like it's working.
All the social media, it's the credit goes to her because I just do what she tells me to do.
And then it's working.
All the other stuff. She edits the videos. She makes all the posts. She does all of it.
Nice. And,
Well,
that's one of the things that we say all the time. Like, if we were going to outsource, what would we outsource? And a lot of it is, mine would be editing. Oh, my goodness. Editing. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
I mean,
or trying to figure out trends is frustrating.
it's. I mean, there's a lot to run in a business, and there's so many things that have to be done, and you know, like filing your sales tax, and I don't know. I find them on my computer most every day, most all of the day.
Yeah,
yeah.
What's your most? What's the your favorite part of being a business person altogether? Is it the business side of it? Obviously, it's not the social media part of it. Is it the actual making of the product? Is it the coming up with the ideas, the interaction with people at shows?
Actually,
and so, what is?
I really do love trying to figure a new product out. I mean, that's so fun to me.
Yeah.
And experimenting. I wish I had more time to do that, you know?
And when you first started, obviously, you didn't start in this warehouse.
No, I didn't. I started in my kitchen.
Kitchen, just like everyone else, right? Yeah. How long were you in your kitchen before you moved?
Well, honestly, I was in my kitchen not for a super long time. I would say all of the time, the testing of testing different recipes out was when I was in my kitchen. And then we sold that house and moved. And I was in my sister-in-law's basement for a while. Before that, we had built a different house. And so we had a basement that had the kitchen in it, and we did that kitchen in that basement just so I would have somewhere to make my soap outside of our kitchen that we ate out of. And so my husband made my soap at that point, and then, you know, him and my kids would help us get ready for the shows, and then me and my boys would go to the shows, and We did that for a while, and then we had to sell that house because my husband got in school full-time and couldn't work, and we moved in with my in-laws, and I put my soap business at my sister-in-law's house in her basement, and she worked for me, and her son helped me make my soap, and he went to my shows with me, and I had my goats at my other sister-in-law's house that lived across the street. So I was living at my in-laws, had my business in one sister-in-law's basement, and my goats at my other sister-in-law's house.
It takes a village.
Yes, it does.
It takes a village.
We did that for like 5.5 years, and then we built another house, and that's when I built the shop.
So this was the first shop that you went into?
Yeah, this is behind our house, basically. Mm-hmm. And so we built the shop. We bought some property and built my son a house, and then we built a house next to him, and we actually have land for all of our children to build a house next to us, and then
nice.
We built this shop. So
hashtag
that's
goals.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Come that is
be close to my family and have my grandbabies right by me.
An ultimate goal.
Go.
So
there yeah. you
do
go.
Do you still use in all your soaps your own goat's milk?
No, we when our kids left home, my husband's like, okay, we can't do goats anymore. I mean, he was in school working, and I was going to shows, and we were so busy. He's like, who's going to milk the goats?
Like, right. Well, I was about to say, as much soap as you're making, that's like a full-time job in itself to
well,
milk the goats.
The thing is what really pushed me to where I had to buy powdered goat milk is we could not get enough milk stored up over the winter. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what to do, and I was forced to buy goat milk powder. And we had mixed, my nephew had mixed up a bunch of goat milk from the powder, and for some reason we were not able to make soap. It was during the winter, and it was cold down in the basement. So I come in the next day, and I'm like, what's that bucket there? And I take the lid off, and it's the goat milk. And I was like, why did he not put this in the fridge? Like, and I stuck my finger in it to see if it was still cold, and it was very cold. But my finger was so moisturized when I pulled it out. I was, like, so shocked. I was like, oh, my gosh, I love this goat milk powder. And I fell in love with the goat milk powder. It was so much easier.
It's much easier.
Freezers full of goat milk and then have to thaw it and
scorching and all that.
All of that. So
I have people ask me all the time, how many goats do you have? None, because goats are a headache.
Right. Right.
You know, goats are, I mean, that they're escape artists, they're Houdinis, and it's
listen,
a lot.
Don't be telling me this. Don't be telling me. We're talking about getting goats when we move. Come on.
Hey,
not
look,
for the goat
I am,
milk, though.
That's you.
You know, I want the goats to, like, get the weeds. That's why I want.
No, I actually, if I could have goats again, I would. I love goats. And I don't mind taking care of them. I wish I had more time, but I would love for my grandkids to be able to milk them and take care of them. And I think one day we probably will get some more goats. But anyway, I love them.
They're sweet. I got a friend that's got goats. I've got several friends that's got goats, and they're sweet, especially when they're little bitty. They're so cute. They're so cuddly.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, we've got 40 acres around here, but we used to run cows.
Oh.
We don't have goat fences. We have cow fences.
Oh, yeah. So that's
You know, 5 strands of barbed wire is not going to keep a goat in.
Nope. Well, we never had any goats get out, but we had, you know, good fencing.
Yeah. That's the difference. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do miss having goats. I really do. But I'm telling you, goat milk powder is so, so, so much easier. And I can't tell the difference in the final product of my soap.
I've used both, and I cannot tell a difference.
Yeah.
Same thing.
So.
Except in the making and the ease, of how it's much, much easier to use the powder.
So much easier, and it's ultimately so much cheaper than buying goat feed and all the things.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Vet bills, and
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Well, also, I mean, like, as we were just saying, it slows down the process so much if you have to try and do the lye on your frozen milk. And there's no way you can do that and maintain the volume that you need.
Even when I have fresh goat milk, I still don't use that method. I will chill my goat milk, and I'll do my goat milk in my oil still.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I do milk and oil, too, when I do it. But
Yeah. I don't know. It's just so much easier, more convenient. And then I don't have the risk of running out in the winter time, because I really did end up not being able to get enough goat milk. And so we were forced to make the switch, and is actually a really good move.
Yeah.
Does any of your family still help in the business?
Yeah. I actually have a sister-in-law. I think she's worked for me for 8 years, I think. I don't... I'd have to ask her, but it's been several years. And, yeah, it's probably been 8 years. I've had two... I had initially a sister-in-law work for me, my nephew. This was after my husband and my children, and then they couldn't help me anymore. I've had my nieces work for me, and... excuse me. My daughters-in-law have worked for me, and I have some friends from church, and my daughter-in-law's parents are now working for me, and so it's been family, extended family, and church family.
Nice.
You know, some people in the community, too.
Right.
But that's what it's about, is being able to help family and friends and folks in your community. Being able to keep, you know, you got their back like that, you can put them to work.
Well, the cool thing about, you know, when I was praying, please help me to know what I can do at home with my family to earn extra money. I didn't realize that that would include not just me and my husband and our children, but it would overflow into my extended family. And my grandson, who's 9 today, he was working with me in my shrub beds, and he goes, "Nana, do you think when I'm 14 I can work for you?" And I was like, "You bet."
That's fantastic.
It was so cute. When I'm 14, I don't know why he came up with 14, but it was adorable.
That's sweet.
Yeah. So I'm sure it'll employ my grandchildren and who knows who else. But, yeah, it's been such a blessing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's been great. I have really loved it.
I do have a lightning round of this or that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we have a segment I call This or That, where I just put out two things and you decide which one. Immediately, without thought, without explanation, I'll go for each one of you. And we'll start with you, Jerianne. I mean, you can explain if you really want to. Cold process or melt and pour?
Cold process.
Jesse?
Cold process.
Shauna?
Cold process.
Farmer's market or online sales?
Online sales.
Yes.
Online sales.
Online sales.
Same. Okay.
Wet running down my back.
Right?
Sweating.
Right.
Dust, dirt right. everywhere.
Yes.
People. It's two an ongoing out there. Thing. It's two people-y out there. Peppermint or lavender?
Peppermint.
Jesse.
Peppermint.
Peppermint. Yeah.
I'm a mint girl. Love peppermint lip balm.
Mm-hmm, me too.
More minty.
I'm not a. I'm just an anti-lavender girl.
It's got to be the right like patchouli. It's got to be the right lavender. It can't be an earthy kind of lavender.
Yeah, I don't like a herbally lavender.
Yeah, the herbally. Yeah. Late night soap making or early morning shipping?
Early morning shipping.
Early morning shipping.
That one's hard.
She does both making. Because she her schedule's so crazy.
I'm like, so for me, it's like I'm a more of a night owl now, especially since I'm married to a night owl. But at the same time, shipping means you're making sales. So
yeah.
Yes, it's true.
And I'm a marketing girl.
Email marketing or TikTok?
Email marketing. I don't know. I mean, TikTok's probably better, but... Oh, you saying which one's better?
No, just which one do you prefer?
Which one? Oh. Yeah. Email marketing.
Jesse?
TikTok.
Shauna?
Not sure.
I don't do probably either TikTok. One of them.
You don't have any email marketing campaign?
We do, but I don't create it. I don't do
okay.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, I prefer scrolling TikTok.
Oh.
Packing orders solo or with help?
Solo. I could get it done faster by myself.
Yeah.
I enjoy the company.
Solo because I have my ways of doing it.
I'm also solo, yes.
Yeah, I don't mind packing orders with John. It just gets done so much faster. But then I always have to check it all.
I like both ways, but yes. I enjoy the company.
If I'm doing it with someone else, I'm double checking at the end. Coconut oil or shea butter?
I don't know. I love coconut oil, and shea butter is good too. That's a hard one.
It is a hard one, right?
I probably use more coconut oil.
Same.
Yeah.
I use more coconut oil, but I love shea butter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't think I want to leave it out in my soap.
No, I love shea butter. I just don't like paying for shea butter.
Well, that's true. And if you heat shea butter up too quickly, it can get grainy.
Mm-hmm.
Like in your lotions and stuff. Bar soap or liquid soap?
Bar soap, because that's all I use.
Same. Bar soap. Same.
Bar
same.
Soap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Free samples or coupon codes?
Free samples.
Coupon codes.
I like free samples.
Because I don't want to package up samples.
I was just thinking the same thing. I'm like, coupon codes, it's just a matter of click, click, click.
That's
free samples
right.
is cut it, wrap it, put it in a
bowl. Yeah, no.
Well, this one's silly. Goat milk or oat milk?
Goat milk.
Clearly. Clearly.
Well, I've never seen udders on oatmeal, so I'm going to say goat milk. Never seen nipples on that.
Nice.
All right. Sounds like an AI image is coming up now.
Nipples on your... On your oatmeal. All right. And I think that's it. Jerrianne, thank you so much for sharing your story. It's been inspiring, relatable, and just flat out real. From skin struggles to Amazon storefront, your journey is a reminder that sometimes the most natural solutions lead to the most incredible success. To our listeners, if you loved this episode, don't forget to like, share, and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you think you'd be a great guest or know someone who's killing it in the small business world, reach out. We're always looking for more voices to bring to the barn. Until next time, y'all, stay dirty, heifers.